The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors. Keep on, keep on.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield Community Radio and on 88.1 WSBR in Lee. Good morning, everybody listening today, and thanks for joining us. Always appreciate you being there for us in the live programs. We are live this morning in our WTBR studios, and we got kind of a gray morning out there, but not terribly cold and not wet or anything like that. I guess we are going to get some stuff a little later today. We'll have to see how that works out, but we'll see. January's almost over. This is Friday, January 31st already. Can you believe it? Going into February, it's almost time for that groundhog to come out. Oh, my goodness. You realize that that happens very, very quickly. But we're glad to see January go. At least some of us are. We've got a great show for you coming up this morning. We have Bob Dean. Bob is from BCAC, Berkshire Community Action Council, and Berkshire Harm Reduction. Got a couple of things to talk to Bob about this morning, especially surrounding the fuel assistance or LIHEAP program, you might know it as, what the status of that program is, and if you or someone you know might be qualified to take advantage of that program. There's going to be some very valuable information for you here this morning. Also talking about the progress of Berkshire Harm Reduction and the Nalox boxes. Some very important information I'm going to talk about today with Bob. So stick around for that. We'll be right back after we do the weather forecast from the National Weather Service. Berkshire
Weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Winter weather advisory in effect until 3 p.m. EST this afternoon. Today, cloudy. A chance of rain. A slight chance of freezing rain and snow this morning. Then rain with a chance of freezing rain this afternoon. Little or no snow accumulation. Ice accumulation around a trace. Night is cool with highs in the upper 30s. South wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation 90%. Tonight, rain and snow in the evening, then snow likely after midnight. Snow accumulation around 1 inch. Cold with lows around 19. West wind 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 20 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation 90%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Well, there you have it, and it does sound like it's going to be a little bit of a mess there later on today, during the day today, maybe just a little bit of rain, but always good to watch out and keep an eye out for that black ice. If anything like that happens and you get some rain and then some snow, you know, you don't know what's underneath that, so just keep an eye out. As we always do here in the Berkshires, you sort of get used to that after a while, and as soon as you get used to it, it warms up. All right. Good morning. And hi, Bob. How you doing?
I'm good, Sean.
Thanks,
how are you today?
Thanks for being here. Bob Dean.
From, always glad to be here.
BCAC and Berkshire Harm Reduction. And got a lot of good updates for us this morning on some of the projects that you work on all the time. And so let's start off with BCAC, Berkshire Community Action Council. They are the provider, basically the conduit, if you will, for the LIHEAP program or the heating assistance program. So let's talk about that first of all, just to sort of give an overview of what the program is and does, and then we'll talk about some more specifics. What is LIHEAP?
Well, it's now called HEAP.
Just HEAP.
Yep. They took away the low-income piece because the income guidelines have increased. They've actually increased $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 from last year. So people who perhaps last year were not eligible could be eligible this year.
Okay.
So the guidelines, a few of them, they're based on household size and income. So a family of two, a household of two, if their income is $64,333 or less, they could be eligible. Household of four, if their income is $94,608 or less, they could be eligible. And the program can can help eligible households pay for whatever is the primary source they use to heat their home.
Mm-hmm.
So it's oil, gas, electric, but it could also be pellets, propane, coal, wood, whatever is the primary source of heating the home. And once
I wouldn't have thought about including things like pellets, for example.
Well, and that word includes, Sean.
Yeah.
That's a great word because what we find a lot of times is people rule themselves out. They exclude themselves because they say, oh, I won't be eligible because of this or that. But you know what? You have nothing to lose by applying. It'll take just a little bit of your time, and you might be able to get some assistance, not only paying for the primary source you use to heat the home, but once you're eligible for the fuel assistance program, we can get you on the utility discount. You can save 25% or so year-round in utilities. Also, if you own the home and you need furnace repair or replacement, the program can help pay for some or even all of that. So it's all these great additional things. Also, we can come in and do what we call an energy audit visit and provide the newer light bulbs that are lower energy using. Yeah. Also, we can look at the refrigerator, the washing machine. If those are older, high-energy models, we can swap those out and get those households brand new ones. So there's a lot of really good stuff. And again, I encourage people, don't rule yourself out.
Yeah.
Also, if somebody, if their income status has changed, say they applied in November and they were over income, but if something unfortunately has happened, maybe they've lost a job or this or that, they can reapply.
Oh, okay.
And
that's very good information, too, for a lot of people, right? Because people's status does change throughout the year. And that was actually one of my questions, like, what kind of documentation and backup paperwork and everything, how much effort is involved in putting it together to sort of make the case that you might qualify for the HEAP, for the heating assistance?
Well, we do need basic information, picture ID, Social Security, and things like that from the head of household. We also need other information for the other members of the household. But once people have done that once, you know, they know the process. Yeah. And all of this is what we're required by the feds to ask for. So we don't have any control over that piece of it. People may say, well, why haven't I received my allocation yet this year? As you just were talking about the weather, BCAC processes what they call the deliverables first. So that means we're working on applications for oil.
Okay.
Because if there's no money to pay for the oil, the oil doesn't come to the house. That's the deliverable.
Yeah.
So when BCAC determines that a household's eligible, we contact the oil company and the wheels will roll even though they don't have the money because they know BCAC is good for it. So that's a huge thing to help keep people warm and they don't run out of heat.
And so the heating assistance money then goes directly to the oil company, so the homeowner doesn't have to handle taking a check in and then paying the oil back. It's basically directly paying for that supply of energy.
Correct. The vendor is paid directly. And again, that really helps facilitate the process.
So they're all used to it, right? They understand how it works. They've got folks that handle that. So it takes one of those complexities out of the homeowner.
Yes. And people can also, even if heat's included, if somebody's paying market rate, they could be eligible as well. Those are the ones that will be processed last. And we're getting
market rate. So tell us about that.
Well, whatever the market rate is for rent. I don't want to get into more detail because you get into the nooks and crannies, so to speak. Yeah. But people, even with heat included, if they're paying market rate, rent could be eligible. Those will be the ones that will be processed at the end.
If you're not paying for your utilities for your heat separately, it's part of your rent, included in your rent, there could be some assistance there.
Correct. There are instances where that could be also eligible. But those are the ones that are processed last simply because we know those people are going to have heat. They're going to be warm.
That's part of their
They're
rent.
Not going to be cold.
Yeah.
And the other thing is the program, while it can certainly help pay us, $500, $600, $700, maybe a little more towards heat, it doesn't, and it's not expected to pay for somebody's entire heat for a heating season.
Right.
This is to assist.
Yep. This is help.
Yeah.
Yep. And taking the edge off, if you will, some of the high costs and the dips and the valleys and things like that, as we know, throughout the heating season, if you don't lock in, let's say, your oil at the beginning of the year, you don't know what you're going to be paying for that next delivery of oil, depending on what happens in the markets.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. There's a lot of a lot of uncertainties, I suppose, as we sit here today.
Right.
We know tomorrow is going to be February 1st, but maybe other than that, there's a lot of uncertainties. Yeah. But yeah, this is a great program. People can apply by calling BCAC. Their main number is 445-4503. The North County number is area code 413-663-3014. People can also apply by going online. They have what they call the portal.
Mm-hmm.
So
is this just for Pittsfield, or is this all Berkshire
this
County?
This is all of Berkshire
anyone
County.
Anyone who can hear us.
Anyone who can hear us. Right. Our good friends down in Lee Lennox and Stockbridge.
That's right.
This is for anybody, any household who meets these guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody who, say, for instance, the heat included or one of the ones that doesn't get processed in November, December, they will still get the entire amount of their allocation going back to November 1st. So people are not going to get less because, their application's being processed.
Yeah, that was actually one of my questions. That here we are basically in the middle of the winter season, right? We think of ourselves in January as not quite through the winter, but we've already made it through a few cold months, right? November, December, January, very cold months. But even if you get this far and you haven't applied for the heating assistance program and there's only a couple months left of winter, it's not too late to apply, and it will still apply to the entire season.
Correct. People have until April 30th to apply.
Yeah.
So think about, hey, I've got to do my taxes. I maybe owe a little bit on taxes. I'm going to apply for fuel assistance so everything will wash out in my household budget.
Mm.
Probably you'll get more for fuel assistance than you would have to pay taxes.
Yeah.
It's a program, again, that can assist people in a very big way in keeping warm.
Yep. And, just going over the guidelines again, that the actual numbers, and you may not be familiar with exactly what we're talking about. If you have an family size of one, so one person in the family, any income of $49,196 or less, right? For that one person in the family, you would qualify for this program. If you have two in your family, anything $64,333 or less. If you have four in your family, $94,608 or less. Now, I'm just reading this off the guidelines. These guidelines are available where? On the
website? Go to BCAC online and you can find these guidelines.
And I have that here as bcacinc.org. bcacinc.org.
Yep.
That's the website. So you can find that easily. If you're, radio is one of those things where you might be listening to us in your car moving along, can't write these numbers down, but this is very important. And, maybe not for you if you're listening right now on Morning Drive, but maybe it's for a family member, maybe it's for a neighbor or a friend where you don't know if they could take advantage of this, and this is available to everyone in the county in Massachusetts that qualifies.
Yeah, and thanks for mentioning that, Sean, too, because I think, a lot of people may not be aware of the program or not be aware the guidelines have increased or may not be aware that they might be eligible because they use propane or things like that. So anybody listening, if you know somebody who you think might benefit from learning more about this, please share this information. The other thing is BCAC has their allocation from the feds to the state. So when we hear people, a lot of times I'll hear seniors, oh, I don't want to take it from anyone else. Mm. You're not taking it from anyone else. This money is for Berkshire County. Mm. If we don't spend it, it goes back and we don't get as much next year. So actually you're helping your neighbors by applying and utilizing this great program. So help us out, apply and keep warm.
That's a really good point. And so again, heating assistance available through BCAC. Get that application in. It's a pretty simple process. If you have any questions, can people get help with the process if they call?
But the start is to call and we will tell you how to begin the application process. If somebody has applied in the past, they can call and we can begin to update this year's application right over the phone. So that's a benefit for people who have applied in the past. And then we would send them out the updated application and they would need to put together all of their paperwork and documentations for this year and then get it back into BCAC.
Now, at the beginning of this year, there was some talk that this year's allocation for heating assistance had dropped from the previous year. Is that still the case, and how's that looking?
We have enough money to cover the applications we should get this year.
Okay.
So, and we want people of course to apply, and we'll
Yeah.
We'll get you approved, and we'll help you keep warm.
And, of course, there was a big scare there last week. I'm sure that every nonprofit in Berkshire County, as well as heating assistance, found when the administration sort of pulled all this grant funding and then the next day put it back in place. Was that a scare as far as whether heating assistance was going to go out the door? Was that even a discussion?
I think you actually accurately described it.
Yeah.
For all human service or many human service agencies, that was what's going on here?
Yeah.
But as we sit here today, BCAC has funding.
Solid funding.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So get those applications.
Nobody who
in.
Has the heating assistance right now and it has already gotten it or will get it throughout this season, you don't anticipate that coming to a halt?
No, absolutely not. We want to reassure people we are continuing to do the good work that we do at BCAC, and a huge part of that is the heating fuel assistance program.
Yeah.
If people have applied and they're wondering what the status of their application is,
they can
call a 1-800 number. It's 1-866-216-6200. And again, that would be on the website as well. But that's an automated system that can tell you, if you've been approved, what the amount is, has it been already sent to the oil company, whatever. So that's a good...
Yeah. How long does it generally take once you've applied to get approved or get it processed? How long does that process take?
It depends. Mm. As you can imagine, the beginning of the season, we're swamped. Mm-hmm. Then you have a lot of the crises that come up that somebody's not necessarily like... first in line, but you get the call. They don't have heat, so you've got to pivot and handle those things.
And that's a really big deal when you get to December and January. It's one thing to have try and be without the heat in October. A lot of people try to tough that out, but once that temperature goes down, your house is cold. There's no getting around that. You need to be warm.
And we know that people are counting on us.
Yeah.
Whether they're expecting, the allocation in January or whatever. Mm. We know that people, have built this into their budget, so to speak, and are counting on us. So BCAC works very hard, very diligently to process the applications and get them submitted and get them approved as quickly as possible. But a lot of times there might be something missing from an application or things like that. So I don't want to really try to say how long it would take.
Yeah.
But they're working really diligently because they know what you just said, Sean, that people might be cold if this application isn't processed. And then, the oil company or whatever is informed that this person's been approved.
Right. So. We're speaking with Bob Dean here this morning. He's from BCAC and also with Berkshire Harm Reduction. And we're talking about heating assistance, now called HEAP, I just learned. Not LIHEAP anymore. If you were familiar with it under that older name, it's just now HEAP. And it is the heating assistance program, essentially, where you are able to apply with actually fairly generous numbers here for overall family income to qualify for this program and get some help to keep that heat on over the winter. So great work there. What's the outlook for this program, Bob? Do you have any idea what might happen next year? Again, knowing what's going on, I know that's a pull out your crystal ball kind of a situation, but is this something that we're concerned that maybe won't be around next year?
No. Don't have that concern.
Good.
No, I mean, as you said, we're going to be on an up and down roller coaster, as all of us over the next whatever. But this program will continue to be here. And Sean, maybe I can come back on in September and further reassure people that the program is still here.
Yeah.
One of the other things I wanted to mention is the VITA program that BCAC has, as well as some other nonprofits have. And the VITA program can help individuals who with their tax return.
Yeah.
And it's free. And the people at BCAC have been doing it for years. Mm. So they're very knowledgeable. They're up to date, all those things. And so anyone who has a basic income tax return and their income is $67,000 or less, this program could help them.
Okay.
So again, give BCAC a call on this program and get yourself scheduled for a time to come in.
Mm.
We'll tell you what you need to bring in when you call. And you come in and you sit and you can have your taxes done in 15 minutes or so. With any luck. And I believe that they can actually file them right there with your approval kind of thing. So it's really a great program.
And so, again, this is for tax returns for folks with $67,000 or less in income in a year, and your sort of basic situation for taxes, right? Because there are lots of different situations. And I would think when you get into the self-employment, things like that, those are it's a little stickier, right? There's a little bit more complex. So how do they handle that?
Well, we don't do the self-employment. Okay. If we've been doing somebody's taxes for a few years now and it's a self-employment, we will keep those. We won't turn that individual away when they come back each year. But we don't do new ones just because it can be so complicated. And
that's the whole Schedule C and all that stuff, all the write-downs and everything. It's much more complicated than taking a 1099 or a W-2 or something like that and plugging it in. But even those simple returns, if you don't know what you're doing on your tax return, you can get yourself into some trouble, right? And you can also lose money.
Yes.
Right? And that's the thing is that people don't – sometimes, you know, you don't do this all the time. So if you're not into knowing, you know, all the deductions you can take that you're capable or qualified for taking, you might miss them and you end up paying more tax than you should.
Yeah. That's a great point, Sean, because we see that a lot from people when they come in the first time. I didn't know I could – deduct this or that. And so maybe people who are doing their own taxes, maybe they might want to just schedule an appointment with BCAC and have us do their taxes with them. And if there are any other savings or deductions they should be claiming going forward, they can do that on their own. By the way, HEAP stands for Household Energy Assistance Program.
Okay.
This is a federal program, which means in Arizona, HEAP pays for air conditioning.
Is that right?
Yeah, so it's a household energy assistance program. I know
household
I was always trying
energy
to
energy assistance.
I was thinking the H must stand for heat, but it doesn't.
Yeah. I would think though that that program is so much more vital in the northern areas, right? Northeast places where you know, it's not a moderate temperature in the winter. You know it's going to get cold, right? And that's desperately important.
Yeah.
And I suppose honestly, true if you're in Arizona and you need air conditioning in 115
degrees. Well, those seniors, too, is what I think.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I guess, Sean, to your earlier question, this is a federal program, and it doesn't only serve people in the cold weather states. It serves people across the country. So in terms of the permanence of this program and the durability going forward, it will be permanent and it will be durable.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's good to hear. Bob Dean's here with us talking about the programs at BCAC that are near and dear to him and the Fuel Assistance Home Energy Assistance Program, HEAP. I'm getting it now. And the VITA program. Do you know what the acronym for VITA is?
Volunteers in Tax Assistance Program.
All right, there we go.
That was a guess.
And again, so BCAC, do they have volunteers that are doing the taxes for folks? Is that how that works?
It's a combination of volunteers and people who have lengthy experience preparing taxes who are also part of that team, but are with BCAC at this point.
Okay.
So it's a combination, and it's really a good program.
Yeah. Yep. And very necessary for a lot of folks.
Yeah.
And it's funny. I heard an analysis the other day of the United States tax system and how we're all made to file our returns. And, you know, basically it was compared to, you know, when I get a Visa bill in the mail, I don't have Visa telling me, well, you know, gather up all your receipts and tell us how much you owe us and then pay us that amount. That's not the way it works.
Yeah.
Right. But with the tax system, that's kind of what you have to do. You, even though the IRS has all of your information, they have all of your W-2s, your 1099s, all of the forms, all the reporting, right, that has gone into knowing what you earned in a year. They got all that.
Yeah.
And yet they still make you collect it all, put it down on a piece of paper, and file it with them saying, this is what I owe. It seems like a very bizarre system.
It
would not be a system you would start with, right?
I don't disagree with you. One of the things, though, that Yes, the feds know what we earn, but they don't know what deductions we might have. And that's why the tax preparation piece is important, because we want to make sure that if there are dependents, they're listed.
Yeah.
If there, say, is a deduction because you're using part of your home as an office, you know, you can deduct that. And so those are important things that...
Yeah.
The people, you know, if the feds say, here's how much you should owe, you say, okay, but here are my deductions. So you end up cutting that in half or whatever.
And it's maybe. Right. It's important to know for people, too, that aren't familiar with this process or are just doing it or need that assistance that, you know, this process will also file the Massachusetts tax return in addition to the federal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so a lot of that same data applies. You have to answer a few more things, right, for the Massachusetts side. But for the most part, once you're able to gather and give that kind of information to the folks doing the VITA program, they should be able to apply that across both your federal and your state.
Yeah, and we can even say help somebody who didn't apply last year. You know, so maybe they just have last year's and this year's. Because I think, you know, when people don't apply for whatever reason, that's a very stressful thing. You know, and so we were able, again, to say, okay, you know, we'll submit both this year's and the year before. And hopefully help people out that way.
Right. Yep. And it can be stressful, especially when you get to this time of the year and you're heading toward April and everyone's thinking about that. But yeah, especially if you haven't done something and you're, you know, behind for a year, I mean, at some point that's going to catch up with you for
sure. Again,
right?
Because, you know, people need to show their tax returns for a lot of different things. And if you don't have one just because you figured, I maybe would have gotten $10 back. I would have maybe paid 10. So you didn't, you know, you didn't submit. I mean, you're going to need that return for other things.
Yep. And, you know, also it's not cheap, to file your taxes, even for the most basic returns. And I know that people will either go to a tax professional that they trust, which is certainly fine as well. But a lot of people have turned to the, sort of the, you know, tax programs that you can get online, you know, your, Tax Act and your H&R Block and, you know, all the other ones out there. But those, even though they kind of lure you in with, you know, we'll do it for free or whatever, by the time you get through the whole process, you realize that they're going to nickel and dime you and charge you for stuff along the way.
Yeah.
And that's also important to let people
know.
Yes,
that
right?
is important. The other thing is a lot of times you think you're doing it the right way. You would just like to ask somebody, and when you're doing it online, there's nobody to ask. Whereas you come into one of the VITA programs, and they'll help you understand what things are if you have questions. So it's good in that way as well. It's reassuring, you know. You have a professional that's saying, "Yeah, you're good.
Yeah,
this is okay. Are you ready to submit?" Whereas online, you don't, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, there's that's the problem. When you're looking at a computer screen, you're not necessarily getting the help that you need.
Yeah,
so.
For your specific situation, right.
So if people are interested in asking about the VITA program, of getting in, what's the way that they can contact and get information on that program?
It's the same two numbers that we gave earlier for North County. I'm trying to try to find it here. North County would be 413-663-3014. And for Central and South County, it's
413-445-4503.
Yes.
That's the number. So call. It'll only take you a couple of minutes to at least figure out if that's something you'll qualify for. And now they will, make an appointment?
Yes.
And how does the rest of that work?
Well, they'll make the appointment, you know, that works for you. Mm-hmm. And you'll be informed of what you need to bring in. And then you bring it in and you'll sit with a preparer. And hopefully by the end of that appointment, your taxes are done.
And where does that actually happen?
It can happen in various locations. In Pittsfield, it's at BCAC's main office.
Is where?
That is now at Maple Ave.
Okay.
And at North Adams, it's up at the 85 Main Street on the second floor.
So everybody knows where 85 Main Street is in North Adams. Right. That'll be easy to find.
And there may be some other off-site locations. Yeah. But I think a lot of that's still in process.
Great. So those are the ways to do that. And the VITA program, if you're interested, call those numbers. You can always go to the bcacinc.org website also for more information on those programs. That's a free program, right?
Yeah.
So remember that they're not going to be nickel and diming you when you're coming in there. They're going to be taking care of you.
And you know, and BCAC does so many things. You know, we had the warm clothing program we have every year. We help with food distribution, fuel assistance, VITA. Mm-hmm. And I understand sometimes people get a little frustrated because, you know, where's my application? When is it going to be approved? But I can assure people BCAC is working very hard, and we're taking them in the order that to us is the most pressing. Let's take care, again, those emergencies where if we don't process this one, they will have no heat.
Yeah. Yep. That's, you got to do it.
Yeah.
Especially this time of the year. Well, Bob Dean is here talking about programs at BCAC. We're going to be going to the Berkshire Harm Reduction programs in the second half of the show, talking about Nalox boxes and sort of the progress that we've been making here countywide and statewide on the opioid problem, crisis, really, that we've had. We've talked about it many times on this show, and there's no doubt that it was and is an issue that is facing many, many of us and our neighbors here in the area. So we'll talk about that in the second half. First, let's go to our typical top of the hour break that we do here on Morning Drive. We'll thank our underwriters. We'll tell you who the station is. We'll give you a couple of important messages, and then we'll come back with our interview with Bob Dean. After this, this is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, and 88.1 WSBR in Lee. We'll be right back after this.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM. You're tuned to Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, and 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Tim's Lawn Care. It's almost time for fall cleanups. Tim's Lawn Care also could take care of your landscaping and fall lawn care needs. Also, ask about commercial and residential snow plowing for the winter. Tim's Lawn Care, 413-281-4222, and online at timslawncarelandscaping.com.
And UCP of Western Mass. Turn passion into purpose when you apply at UCP of Western Mass. Now offering full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. It's more than just a job, it's our identity. Apply today at ucpwma.org/jobs.
We all know WTBR is great to listen to on 89.7 FM, but did you know that you can listen to WTBR just about anywhere? We've got a web stream, and it's easy to use. Go to WTBRFM.com on your computer and click play. You can use the TuneIn app on your smartphone and connect it to your car's sound system. Or you can use your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play WTBRFM, and there's your community radio station. WTBR, for the love of radio.
What is One Berkshire? We're the voice of the business community.
This is Leslie Gabriel, your water ambassador.
How do we do it? Through marketing, networking, sponsorships, and advocacy. Whether it's promotion to travelers and second homeowners, or opportunities to network with your neighbors and raise your profile, we've got you covered. So join today. Visit oneberkshire.com. That's the number one, berkshire.com.
The preceding public service announcement courtesy of WTBR and Lee Bank. Thirsty. Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And UCP of Western Mass. Turn passion into purpose when you apply at UCP of Western Mass. Now offering full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. It's more than just a job, it's our identity. Apply today at ucpwma.org/jobs.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, and welcome our neighbors on 88.1 WSBR in Lee. Thanks for being here this morning. Friday, January 31st, and kind of a gray and cold morning with some weather headed our way later today and into tonight. We'll hear about that in just a moment. Bob Dean is our guest this morning talking about programs at BCAC and at Berkshire Harm Reduction. We're going to be talking to him more about that in just a moment. First, let's go to that weather forecast and find out what we have in store for us right now.
Berkshire weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Winter weather advisory in effect until 3 p.m. EST this afternoon. Today, cloudy. A chance of rain. A slight chance of freezing rain and snow this morning. Then rain with a chance of freezing rain this afternoon. Little or no snow accumulation. Ice accumulation around a trace. Night is cool with highs in the upper 30s. South wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation 90%. Tonight, rain and snow in the evening, then snow likely after midnight. Snow accumulation around 10 inch. Cold with lows around 19. West wind 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 20 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation 90%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right. I don't see any evidence of the freezing rain or snow flakes this morning, so I don't think we're in any danger of getting that. But certainly keep your eyes out for the rain and freezing rain, anything like that that happens in the afternoon, and the snow that might be covering that this evening. Definitely something to keep an eye out for. But as usual, you can't shut down either. You can't just say, oh, I can't do anything because of the weather. We're a little tougher than that around here, but still got to be careful. Remember how to drive. Remember how to drive in this stuff. Mm. It's definitely a skill and an art. All right. Welcome back to the show, Bob Dean. Thanks for being here again this morning. Appreciate you being here.
Glad to be here.
Absolutely.
Sean.
So let's shift over to Berkshire Harm Reduction Program and the Nalox boxes we're going to talk about.
Yep.
Some significant milestone made there recently. But let's circle back a little bit and talk about the Healing Communities Initiative. That was a program that I know that we did programs on here at PCTV and WTBR FM when it was first getting started, and maybe just a little bit of a progress report on how that program wound up.
Yeah, well, Healing Communities Initiative was a federal initiative that was targeting certain states that had really high fatal overdose per population.
Yeah, Massachusetts being one of them.
Yeah, Massachusetts is one of the four states, and there were, I think, I'm not sure how many cities or towns, but North Adams and Pittsfield were included in that because the fatal overdose rate in both of those cities was so high.
Yeah.
And part of what Healing Communities was doing was what Berkshire Harm Reduction has been doing all along anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And that's to increase the amount, the supply of naloxone that's in the community and available for the community to utilize. To increase awareness regarding opioid overdoses and opioid use, what an overdose is, what it looks like,
mm-hmm.
how you can prevent an overdose, what to do if you think somebody's having an overdose, and also just trying to help people that are ready to get into treatment. Also wanting to offer more, this is on the medical side, medicated assisted treatment,
mm-hmm.
which can help somebody who's trying to stop by tapering down the amount they're using and things like that. So mm-hmm. all these initiatives, all designed to reduce the fatal overdoses and provide more information, education. And that was a two-year pilot, which ended... Well, it ended.
Yeah.
But here in Berkshire County, as you said, being hardy souls, we're continuing with all of these efforts going full speed.
Yeah.
And in regards to the Nalox boxes, we now have, I think, 102 countywide.
Wow.
And what is a Nalox box? Well, maybe people have seen them around.
Yeah.
They are containers that have naloxone in it. These are the most current boxes, the red ones. So you would see these in these Nalox boxes, and we're encouraging people to take some of this Narcan and have it just in case. Have it in your car the way you have a spare tire. Hopefully you never need it.
Yeah.
But if you get a flat, that's not the time to look for a spare tire that's not in the trunk of your car. And it's the same thing with what we're seeing with overdoses. People may say, oh, I would never come across a situation like that. But this disease and substance use disorder is a disease.
Yeah.
It's not a question of moral weakness or whatever you want to call it. This is a disease that rewires somebody's reward system in their brain.
Yep.
So we all know people who are suffering from this dreadful disease and its impact. We may not know that somebody's using or suffering. We may not know that someone who's a friend of ours that has a son, daughter, partner, parent who is using and struggling. Yeah. But this is
a lot of times because of the stigma, right? Because
there
we're not going to know.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that's used as an example a lot, if your neighbors find out that a member of your family has cancer, they're bringing you the cakes and whatever, the stews, the casseroles.
Sure.
But in a case of somebody who their disease is not cancer, it's substance use disease, you don't even share that with people because of the shame and the stigma. And that keeps people from getting treatment. And it also keeps people from understanding that this is affecting all of us.
Right.
And we, rather than pointing the finger of blame and shame, you know, let's reach out and try to help people who are struggling, yep, and help the families, mm-hmm, of people who are struggling. So,
well, it affects all the fabric of society, if you will, right? Everything is connected in one way or another. And someone who is in need of help in that area and not getting the help that they need, that's going to affect other people. It's going to affect their families, their neighbors, you know, crime rates. Everything is connected. Housing, homelessness, mental health, right? It's all interwoven. This is, you know, taking care of one area of it and focusing on this. That's why this is so important.
Yes. And Greylock was number 100 there at their branch in North Adams. They actually have installed four of these. And it's great that Greylock has installed them, because Greylock is a staunch and a strong member of our community. Mm-hmm. And for them to be having these Nalox boxes that are all right in front of their building so you can see them from the highway, but to be supporting this in such a visible and proud way is really significant, because we need all of the community to step up. And the question should not be, why does Greylock have these Nalox boxes? The question should be, why doesn't my bank, why doesn't my supermarket, why doesn't my business, why doesn't my financial institution have a Nalox box?
Yeah.
We're part of this community. We want to make sure that we're doing our part to help keep people safe.
Right. So, and if you're a representative of one of those organizations that does not have a Nalox box available and publicly viewable, you know, in that way, how can they get a hold of this program to find out more about it and to say, yes, we want one also?
Call Berkshire Harm Reduction, 413-447-2654, and ask for Bob.
There you go.
And the Nalox boxes are free.
Right.
Berkshire Harm Reduction stocks them and restocks them free, no charge.
So the organization doesn't really have to think about a thing, just agree to put it
just
up
agree
and,
to put
and
it
find
up.
A location for
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this past year, we, I think about 5,000 of these Nalox boxes were taken from, of these kits were taken.
5,000.
Yeah.
Wow.
Over the course of a year.
Yep.
And I restocked these. I was restocking one at a local library, and an individual came up to me and said that he had taken one a few days before. And I said, oh, what happened? He said, I saved a life.
Wow.
I was at a housing location restocking the box there, and an individual came up to me and said that somebody had fallen down outside, an overdose. And he had gone out and had to use two of them. I said, what happened? He said, well, the person revived and we were able to get them medical treatment. And this person was asking me, he said, I used two of these and I put them both in one nostril. Was that okay? I said, you're a hero. You saved a life. Yeah, that's, you know, you're supposed to do one every other nostril. That doesn't matter. You're a hero.
Yeah.
And I
guess the point there being that you can't help somebody if they're not alive.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, if they've got a path to follow to deal with the opioid use disorder, an illness, and they have to get on that path, and we've talked about this before, it's not a simple switch. You can't throw a switch and everything's fine. You can't take the magic drug or the magic pill and everything will work. It's going to be a journey for those folks. But if they're not around, you can't help them with anything.
Yeah, well said. Yeah, and that's the thing that, you know, that I've learned, is recovery is not a straight line. Despite the best intentions and the strongest efforts, there may be setbacks, and almost always there are a few setbacks. And for people who are using opioids, that's when they're at the greatest risk, is when they're doing well or they've tried to stop, even for a couple days, their tolerance goes down.
Mm-hmm.
And if they reuse and they use even close to the same amount they were using when they had their tolerance, that's the overdose. And what we see a lot of times is people who are in early recovery and are doing well, if they have a setback, they're not announcing it to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing it in secret and alone. And with low tolerance, there's the overdose that can be a fatal overdose, because there's no one to Narcan them. There's no one to call 911.
Yeah. Yep, very dangerous. And Bob Dean, let us know how, just sort of give us an overview of how we got to this point, a little historical perspective, because it isn't just sort of a, you know, street drug kind of a thing. We imagine that the drug problems and drug addiction, drug, you know, overuse, you know, is something that happens over there or whatever. I think a lot of people have come to the realization that this could happen to anybody, and that in probably in the past decade or two, a lot of people got into using oxycodone, hydrocodone that were sometimes prescribed to them by doctors, maybe overprescribed in some situations, and they were easily available and sort of pushed, right? I mean, that's how a lot of this particular crisis got started.
Yeah, and you could almost like compare it to how things were during Prohibition when alcohol was illegal. So people were not going to stop drinking alcohol. Mm. They were going to get it through other means, and some of that alcohol was poisonous, people went blind from it. And so it's that you're dealing with the same situation now, where this is an unregulated, uncontrolled supply. And in addition to the OxyContin, fentanyl.
Fentanyl, right.
Fentanyl came on the scene maybe 2010, maybe a little earlier. And in Berkshire County, we had across the county in actually 2010, we had 4 fatal overdoses in Berkshire County. By 2020, that was up to 56 fatal overdoses. 2021, it was up to 62.
Wow.
So it's the fact that the supply is unregulated, and the people, and they're not from they're not in Berkshire County, but the people who are bringing it in, they're mixing all other kinds of crap in with the fentanyl, which itself is deadly enough for somebody with no tolerance.
Right.
And then, as you said, we're seeing the xylazine in it, which is a veterinary sedative. We're hearing that that's being put in it so it will stretch out that fentanyl high. Narcan can work on the fentanyl. It doesn't work on the xylazine. That's why we're saying to people, if you think somebody's having an overdose, if you're not able to get them to respond to you, call 911. This person's not breathing, they're non-responsive, and then begin to administer the Narcan, which is a nasal mist, if you feel comfortable doing that. If not, at the very least, call 911 and say there's a person here who's non-responsive. The first 5 to 10 minutes with these opioid overdoses is crucial to keep somebody alive and to prevent damage, because basically what happens is the opioids will attach to receptors in the brain, and over time they rewire the brain's reward system so that the brain not only wants but craves the opioids. And as you know, with addiction, people will put other things aside, and that addiction and the need for that next high is, you know, becomes front and center.
Yep.
So it's a tough disease, but it takes time for people after they stop using for the brain to rewire itself so that they don't feel the same rewards from this, or they're at least not craving it as much. They'll probably always feel the same rewards, but just helping to control their cravings a little bit. There are also medications that can be prescribed that can help somebody with the cravings and things like that. And that's a really good and important option for people as well.
And what are some examples of those medicines?
Well, methadone, methadone treatment, because that takes the edge off of people when they're trying not to use. And it just, what we're hearing is a lot of people are using at this point just to not be sick, just to feel normal.
Yeah, like just to be able to function.
Just to be able to function. The fun, or whatever you want to call it, is long gone. These people are, this is just where they, I think, feel stuck.
Yeah.
They have this disease.
Yeah, and there are people that started out with chronic pain as well,
yes,
right? And that was their, at that point, their only avenue to feel some relief from the pain.
Yeah.
But then it develops into something else, like you said, rewiring the brain, so that then that's your problem. It isn't the pain anymore.
Yeah, exactly. That we hear that a lot too.
Yeah.
So in Berkshire County, we had the fatal overdoses, 56 in 2020, 62 in 2021, and then as a result of Berkshire harm reductions efforts, as a result of the Healing Communities efforts, we've been able to get that down. So the past 2 years, it's been 47 and 48, which is way too many. But
still too many, but progress.
Yeah. And again, I mean, I'm seeing now when I go out in the community, there's a much greater awareness and understanding of this as a disease, and that rather than pointing the fingers and shaming and blaming, let's try to help people.
Yeah.
And Berkshire Harm Reduction, we're in that gray area between abstinence, somebody's never used or isn't using, and treatment. Mm-hmm. So Berkshire Harm Reduction sees people who are actively using, and we try to reduce the harm of something they're going to do anyway. Mm. So we are able to provide new unused syringes, but people need to bring in their used syringes. Mm-hmm. This past year, Berkshire Harm Reduction collected 540,000 used syringes.
No kidding. I would not have guessed that number.
That's
incredible. Yeah,
those are syringes that are not out in the parking lot here. Yep. They're not on the Ashewiltuk Trail. They're not in playgrounds, any of that stuff. They're safely disposed of. Mm. And in addition to providing the new unused syringes, Berkshire Harm Reduction also is able to do some testing, STD testing, things like that. Also able to look at where somebody's injecting and offer suggestions in terms of if there's wounds and things like that. So all of this is designed just to reduce the harm of what somebody's going to be doing anyway. And people say, well, you know, Bob, you're enabling people. I say, and then after I, but I say, you know what, if we're enabling people to stay alive, yes, you bet we are. Mm. But really, what would happen if Berkshire Harm Reduction's door was locked? Would these people go home and never use again? No. An individual would go home, they'd find a used syringe, and they'd use without Narcan.
Mm-hmm.
And how is that possibly safer or better for us as a community?
Yeah.
So again, we're one of the main ways that STDs and other infections are spread is through sharing syringes.
Right. So. And that's going to cause another whole host of problems, right?
Yes.
Not just the use disorder anymore, but all the other diseases, hepatitis C, for example, and HIV and things, everything that comes along with sharing syringes and bloodborne stuff, right?
And Berkshire Harm Reduction has a great hepatitis C treatment program.
Hmm.
A lot of the people that we connect with, they don't have good experiences in the emergency room and the hospitals, but they trust Berkshire Harm Reduction because over time, they know we're just there to try to help them and answer any questions that we can. But Berkshire Harm Reduction's hepatitis C program, once they test positive, they can sit with us at Berkshire Harm Reduction and have the medical appointment via Zoom. The prescription can be filled. It can actually be the meds can be delivered to Berkshire Harm Reduction, so the person doesn't have to go to the pharmacy. All these things that we can do just to help that person get what they need, which is the medication, without any of the complications or any of those other things. And when I go to places where people are in early recovery and talk about Berkshire Harm Reduction services, and whenever I mention hepatitis C, almost always someone from the group takes over and says, yeah, I went through that program.
No
it's
kidding.
Great.
Wow.
And I feel so much better, at least in that area. Because what you're saying earlier, Sean, rather than creating another set of problems, if we can knock out the hepatitis C for somebody, they can begin to feel better in that regard. Maybe they'll try other things that might help them feel better as well. And the other thing is, we are not punitive. So if somebody, typically say if the hepatitis C regimen's like 8 weeks, if somebody after week two, we don't see them for several weeks because that's the reality of the people we connect with.
Yeah.
But they come back week four, we will get them back into the regimen and get them their meds. We're not going to say, no, come back in a year because this is expensive. We want to help them.
Again, because it's not a straight line.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. And Bob Dean, let's talk about sort of the public perception and attitudes around this, because we mentioned stigma before. But it seems like a lot of that has evolved over the last maybe say 10 years or so, where people's attitudes were much harsher, I want to say, earlier. And now I think maybe, and tell me what some of the reasons are why people's attitudes are evolving and changing in this regard.
Well, one of the
we can't change them all, right?
But one factor may be the unfortunate reality that a lot of people have now suffered the effects of this dreadful disease, whether it's themselves, it's a family member.
Yeah.
Like you said earlier, Sean, when somebody is suffering from this disease, that it's the impact, is widespread. It's not just that individual. It's not just their family. So I think part of that, people who have gone through this and have, acquired information on their own and know it's a disease and stuff, they're, we're more informed in that area. There are segments of the community that are more informed and understanding. There are, as you said, segments that aren't.
Yeah.
We can only do what we can do. We're going to continue to be out there providing this information, giving people the opportunity to get naloxone. You know, there are a lot of seniors and individuals that are prescribed opioids for various things and are using them appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
But anyone who is prescribed an opioid should also have Narcan.
Right.
So rather, you know, this is available for those people as well.
Yeah.
We have Nalox boxes in, I think, 10 plus Hearthway locations, housing locations, because they recognize that fact. And we want them out on the street just so people can see it and just take some Narcan and go on your way. And hopefully you never need to use it. I was somewhere yesterday where the person said, yeah, I hope I never see you again. And I said, I won't take that personally because I was putting Narcan in a new Nalox box. I said, I won't take that personally because, we are seeing more and more awareness of the reality.
Yeah.
This isn't going anywhere, this disease. As a matter of fact, heroin was bad enough. Fentanyl is in everything because we're also able to test what people have used. They trust us and we're able to say to them, this is what's in it. This is what it is. So we're seeing now.
So if they were to bring whatever they have into you to test, into Berkshire Harm Reduction, that's something you can do?
Yes. Usually people bring in what, after they've used.
To find out what's, because you said it's an unregulated supply. Who knows what's in this stuff?
They'll bring in like a sample the size of a grain of rice, and we can test that.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're seeing is fentanyl and xylazine.
Mm.
And now we're seeing like even a stronger carfentanil, I think, it appeared in something we tested a little while back. Just a small trace, but that's like 50 times stronger than fentanyl, which is 50 times stronger than heroin. You know,
crazy.
It just goes on and on.
Just crazy.
And there's also something that's like a stronger form of xylazine that's showing up. So this isn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
So we might as well get our heads out of the sand and let's see how we as a community can work together and keep each other as safe as possible.
And this stuff is also showing up in other unregulated, like party drugs and things like that too, right? That's the other issue, that you might not think you're getting some fentanyl or some xylazine, but guess what? There it is.
We have tested, it was a while back, a counterfeit pill that did have traces of fentanyl in it. And you're right, you're a college kid and you're doing whatever with you end up getting fentanyl when you thought it was stimulants.
Yeah.
And again, no judgment, but that's an overdose right there.
Right.
The other thing is if you think somebody's having an overdose, you want to see if you can get them to respond to you. And if they're able to respond to you, you don't need to Narcan them, but you might still want to call 911 based on whether they're able to have a conversation with you or they're nodding in and out or stuff like that. And it's all scary stuff. So really, you think something's wrong, call 911.
Right. And as we talked about before on this program, if you do administer Narcan to someone who ultimately didn't need it because that wasn't the problem they were having, it's not going to do any damage to them.
Yes, great point. Thank you for bringing that up, Sean, because that's really important. Mm-hmm. Because people ask me that all the time. Well, what if it was a stroke?
Yeah.
Well, that's why you call 911.
Yeah.
And as you said, Sean, the Narcan isn't going to have any damage.
Yeah.
It's not going to hurt anybody. And what the Narcan does, it goes up through the membranes, through the nose into the membranes, and it gets into the brain and it kicks the opioid off of that brain receptor, and the Narcan, the naloxone, attaches instead. It's good for 60 minutes. It's like a goalie protecting that brain receptor, you know, it's happening millions of times across the brain, from the opioids. But it doesn't eliminate the opioids. The opioids may still be there, some of them, an hour after. And so somebody could have a second overdose. Or a lot of times if somebody wants to use because they're starting to have withdrawal from the Narcan, there are a lot of complications there. So
But it gives them a chance, essentially. That 60 minutes is a golden hour, right, to get some care, to get into to help them survive.
And we encourage people, if the person that has the overdose doesn't want to go with the ambulance or doesn't go to hospital, at the very least, put as much time as you can between when they last used and they use again, for exactly what you said, Sean. Make sure that whatever's in their system is at least getting out in terms of the opioids before they put more in.
Right. Bob Dean talking to us today about Berkshire Harm Reduction programs, the Nalox boxes, Narcan, all kinds of very important information we're getting out there today, hopefully. And again, Bob, if someone wants to get a hold of you for any of the things we talked about today, the HEAP program, VITA program at BCAC, or any of the Nalox boxes, getting those into your business, how do they get a hold of you?
For heating assistance, call BCAC. It's bcacinc.org is the website, or 445-4503 for Central and Pittsfield. I'm Central and South, and 663-3014 for North County. That's for heating, fuel assistance, and Vita. For Nalox boxes, if you're interested in having us come and do an overdose awareness presentation, Berkshire Harm Reduction, I'll give just the Pittsfield number, 447-2654.
All right. Thanks again for being here. Always appreciate it. Great information. Appreciate it, Bob. And have a great weekend, everybody. Take care. This is Morning Drive. Just get in my car. Drive where you
expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning, everyone. This is the Cultural Pittsfield Radio Show. We're so happy to be on WTBR 89.7 FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. My name is Jen Glockner. I'm the director of the Office of Cultural Development for the wonderful city of Pittsfield. It's a new year. It's 2025. Are you having a hard time writing 2025 on?
Not really.
Oh, good
so
for
far,
you.
Yeah.
Good for you. We have Bev Prentice always here running the board. I am having a hard time. I still am putting 24, and then I'm like, cross off 25.
You sign a lot more checks than I do.
Well,
then.
Even like dating documents, you know, or I don't know, just in life. Not checks necessarily, because I don't really do checks that much anymore. But anyway, it's 2025. We're welcoming it with open arms. 2025, because it's happening, whether we're ready or not, right?
That's true. It's here.
It's here. It's here in all its glory. We have a lot happening always in the city of Pittsfield for 2025, for the winter, for the spring, for the summer. We're already starting to talk about the first Fridays at 5, which start in May.
Wow.
But more timely. Before May are lots of things happening in Pittsfield. We have our Love Pittsfield newsletter that goes out every Wednesday now. It's being sent out on Wednesdays, goes over weekly events and other festivals or art calls or fun things going on. So please subscribe to that newsletter. If you don't get it yet, you should.
It's easy.
It's easy. You just go to lovepittsfield.com and you can sign up for it, or you can send us a note at cultural.development@cityofpittsfield.org.
I finally did it.
Good, Bev. I know every week I'm like, Bev, are you getting the newsletter? Yes, I am. Now you can actually say, yes, I am.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, I am. So we are going to talk about some of the events happening in the course of the next couple of weeks. And then we have several calls for art out in the world, which is awesome for artists to start off 2025 to possibly submit their work for display, more exposure. Pittsfield High School is doing a play this weekend. It's called Sherlock Holmes.